Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Last week's news that Pluto has been booted off the list of planets disturbed more than just a few astronomy buffs. The British composer Colin Matthews paid homage to the newly demoted dwarf planet in his 2000 composition, Pluto the Renewer, which you're hearing in the background. The piece was actually written as an addition to Gustav Holst's famous suite, The Planets, written back in 1914, when, of course, Pluto had not yet been discovered. Joining us on the phone from London with his reaction to Pluto's downsizing is the composer, Colin Matthews. Colin, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Your reaction to the news of Pluto's fate? You couldn't have been too surprised. You actually...
I wasn't surprised. I'm disappointed, like quite a few astronomers seem to be. But I'd always, in fact, in my original program note for the piece, I wrote that Pluto might well be declassified at some point. So, no, I wasn't surprised.
So did you have, I mean, when you were asked to, quote-unquote, complete Holst's planets by adding Pluto, did you approach that project with some trepidation, some mixed feelings?
Yes, I did. I wasn't sure whether it was something I could do. Particularly because I know the planets very well. I edited, in fact, a score of it with Holst's daughter Imogen back in 79, so I know the work inside out. And I took it on because I felt that because I know the work well, perhaps if anybody was going to do it, I might be the best person to do it.
And you'd had some experience completing other people's works, hadn't you? Didn't you work with Derek Cook on the...
I worked on Mahler's 10th Symphony, yes, for many years with Derek Cook, which was an amazing project.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been involved with editing some of Britten's unfinished works. So, you know, it's a familiar territory for me.
Well, so the challenge is that you're appending a new work onto a classic written at a different time in a different style by a different fellow. So you want to be kind of true to the spirit, but you also, you're Colin Matthews. You have to sound like Colin Matthews when you do it.
You've summed up exactly what I felt. And, of course, there is the, you know, I didn't feel I was doing anything to the piece that was irretrievable because you don't have to play it. But it was this balance of trying to be myself, but writing something which wouldn't be incongruous. And I certainly didn't set out to write a sort of pastiche version of Holst or to imitate. But I think in the process of writing it, I came a little closer to Holst than I was expecting to. I mean, it happened really without my intending to be that way.
Well, the original suite, The Planets, ends with Neptune the Mystic, very kind of formless, mystical-sounding music, which you kind of take as the starting point for your piece. Let's give folks a chance to hear how the original piece by Gustav Holst sounds as it comes towards its end. All right, Neptune the Mystic, Gustav Holst's suite from 1914 called The Planets. You don't actually use the female chorus, but that sense of a kind of floating quality to the music, is that something that you took as a starting point?
Well, as a starting point, but I felt that, unless I took the whole, the female voices were off stage, and I felt that unless I took the whole orchestra off stage, I couldn't do anything that was going to be more remote. And I took the decision to write a piece that was not slow. I mean, it had to be fast, I felt, as a contrast. So it's very fast and fleeting, and I thought perhaps of the image of solar winds and the strange, perhaps, comets, you know, exploding at the fringes of the universe, at the solar system.
So you called the piece Pluto the Renewer. Where does that come? Pluto, I thought he was the scary guy. Where does the Renewer come from?
I tried to read through a book on the astrological significance of Pluto, and I gave up about 10 pages into this volume of 650 pages. But I did pick up the idea that the astrological significance of Pluto had to do with renewal, so it seemed to be, I could have read further and found out greater detail, but that was enough.
That was enough to go on. Here's some of the piece, Pluto, the Renewer. My guest is composer Colin Matthews. Some music by my guest Colin Matthews, written for the now demoted dwarf planet of Pluto. Colin, as I mentioned earlier, this piece written to quote-unquote complete the planets, the famous suite by Gustav Holst. Pluto was discovered during Gustav Holst's own lifetime. Now, you knew his daughter, Imogen Holst, quite well, and aren't you also an administrator for the Holst Foundation?
Yes, I am. Yes.
So do you know if Holst himself ever considered adding a Pluto movement of his own?
There's absolutely no record of Holst even having taken any notice of the discovery of Pluto, strangely enough, and certainly no correspondence. You know, whether a journalist would have asked him, you'd have thought automatically they would have done, but there's absolutely no record of that at all.
Well, Pluto,
it's certainly not the sort of thing he would have done. He was a very self-contained composer and person, and I think, you know, the last thing he wanted to do himself would have been to add another movement at such a distance in time.
But you felt okay doing it?
I didn't feel entirely okay, but I did it.
It was a gig. You did it.
Yes.
So you did it, and now suddenly Pluto is not on the accepted list of astronomical bodies that we call planet. Are there other Pluto supporters out there you can commiserate with?
Well, I don't know what to think. I mean, I suppose ethically I should withdraw the piece and refuse to allow it to be performed. But it's, you know, the interesting thing is that actually Simon Rattle, who's just recorded the piece with the Berlin Philharmonic, has been playing it on its own recently without the planets. So perhaps it will have an independent life of some sort.
So maybe then, Colin, you need to write a suite called The Dwarf Planets.
Indeed, yeah.
Add Cirrus and Charon and all the NGC 337s or whatever is all floating out there. Well, you know, Björk has written a song called Pluto, and the folk singer Christine Lavin's song Planet X in 1996 was a kind of a good-natured protest against suggestions that Pluto is not a planet. So it seems like there are a number of musicians who are out there and kind of feeling about this the same way that you are.
I hope that'll be the case.
The irony, of course, being that, as you mentioned, here it is, you know, one day they say Pluto is not a planet, and practically the next day, a brand new recording of your piece of Pluto is due out from Simon Rattle and the Berlin Philharmonic. What do you think you will do with the piece? Will you do a dwarf planet version? Will there be a chamber orchestration of this piece?
No, I think I'm going to leave it. I always thought that, you know, one extra movement was enough, and I think, you know, the piece is self-sufficient, and all I can say is it was officially a planet when I wrote it, and has been for 75 years.
All right, so the music then is grandfathered into the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
Colin Matthews, the English composer, has been my guest on Soundcheck, and Colin, we will look forward to the new recording of your piece next week. Thanks for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you very much.
In a moment, Oliver Mutukudzi, the Zimbabwean singer and guitarist, combines popular protest with pop melodies. He'll play live in the studio. You're listening to Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.